There are times when we like to sugarcoat the truth to make it more easy to swallow. But the word of the Lord, which is proclaimed today through our scripture readings from Amos and from the Gospels, the word proclaimed by Jesus through the power of the Spirit speaking to us, the living word, defies sugarcoating. Today's lessons simply speak clearly about money and our relationship to it, which is probably good for us to hear. For we live in a day when people are filled with fears, so much of it caused by economics, fears of division, fears of violence, fears of marginalization and oppression, fears of economic crisis, fears of war, fear of death. In this time, in this world, on this day, our Lord Jesus clearly says, these are not the things you need to be afraid of. What you should be afraid of is not listening. Look back at this gospel reading from Luke and ask ourselves, why is that rich man in Hades? Now, before we do that, let me say that the Greek word Hades does not mean the same place that today some would refer to as hell. That's a different word. Hades was the place where all the dead went. As hard as it might be to believe, given what we all think we know about heaven and hell, the concept of there being two distinct places, and some people go to one and some go to the other, that's an amalgamation of Greek thought and Jewish thought, and that really wasn't clarified as the way people think until after Jesus, the first century of the church after his death and resurrection. So I'm not trying to get into a full-blown discussion of what the Bible teaches about hell. I'm just saying that even though at first listen, this story might seem to be about people going to hell or not going to hell, I don't really think that's what Jesus was intending to focus on. That wasn't in the minds of people in that day. I think this story, which Jesus tells, is mostly about our relationship to money and to other people. Now, I want to also remind you, last week's story was the story of the manager. Remember the conflict that he had with the rich man who probably was a Roman who had taken land from the Jewish people? Do you remember how that story ends? Jesus said, you cannot serve God and wealth. That's where the reading ended last week. You cannot serve God and wealth. And the very next line, which we didn't read, one of the only three or four lines that falls between that reading and today's, the very next line was, and the teachers of the law, they loved wealth, so they ridiculed Jesus. They laughed at Jesus for saying you cannot serve God and wealth. And that's what leads Jesus to tell this story that we heard today. So no matter how we want to, we can't sugarcoat it. This is a story which literally just says, God is not pleased with those who love money more than other people, who care about their own wealth more than having compassion for others. In Jesus' story, Father Abraham is pretty blunt. Hey, rich man, you've had your good times in life on earth. Now it's Lazarus' turn for the good life. Now, when you hear this, you might think the rich man is in Hades simply because he's rich, that he's not in the bosom of Abraham, but in the more difficult part of Hades. But that's not what this story says. It's not just because he was wealthy. The rich man, who ironically does not even have a name, Jesus doesn't give him a name in this story, he asks for Lazarus to help him by bringing him water. He asked for Lazarus by name. So we can't think maybe he didn't know there was a man outside his gate. He knew it and he knew his name. Abraham replies, "No, wait, unnamed man. Remember when you were enjoying the good life? And you saw Lazarus sick and suffering outside your gate, suffering all kinds of evil things, and you did not help him at all? Remember the chasm between him and you that you created with your lack of compassion? By literally not caring about his suffering at all? Remember how you didn't listen to his cries for help?" And the rich man repented. No, he didn't. He still wasn't listening. He asked for another favor. He's like, "Abraham, send Lazarus to go warn my five brothers. They need to hear about this peril they face." And Abraham replies, "They've already heard. They have Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament. They have the laws. They have all the warnings of all the prophets. They just need to listen." You see, in the story, the rich man's fault is not that he's rich. It's that he doesn't listen and he doesn't care. He has not heard God's call to compassion, to do good things with what God has given him in the world around him. The fact is, maybe sometimes the more we have, the more stuff, the more responsibilities, the more wealth we have to manage, the more difficult it is to not become preoccupied, obsessed with it even. The more difficult it is to not let it get in the way of trusting Jesus, of faithfully following in the way of God's reign. That's the unadulterated, unsugar-coated word in this story. Jesus speaks to those who laughed when he said, "You can't serve God and wealth." Look back at that Old Testament lesson from Amos. This is one of the very stories that Jesus is saying the rich man's brothers should have been reading. Amos never minces words. Last week in our first reading, we heard Amos say, "Woe to those with power who cheat the poor so they can gain more." And this week, Amos says, "Woe to those who lounge about and feast and enjoy their wealth and have no concern for those who are financially ruined." The word of God proclaimed again and again in the prophets to the people of Israel and proclaimed again and again by our Lord Jesus Christ is this: the reign of God is about God's blessing, God's justice for all people. Therefore, it has to be about lifting up the poor, the oppressed, the imprisoned, those the world has trampled down or cast aside. The reign of God is about God living in relationship with all people, and it's about all people living together in peace and freedom and justice with compassion for each other. Again and again, the prophets and Jesus say, those who have more, who have been blessed by God, have a special calling, a special role to play in the birth of the kingdom. That is, to to use their gifts, their resources to help bring about the reign of God, the justice and peace and blessing for those the world has trodden down and cast aside. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, today, a day in which the world and the people of this world are filled with all kinds of fear, today Jesus speaks again to us. But really, what you should be afraid of is not listening, not hearing the call, not hearing the good news that there's a better way. A way of compassion and caring that will bring life to you, to others, to all my children. This is the good news. God in Christ has defeated fear and sin, the powers of evil and division and violence and hatred, the powers of death. God in Jesus has already accomplished their ultimate defeat. Because of God's love, death is an enemy with which no longer has power over us. The good news is God empowers us to turn our focus away from fears, to turn our ears, our listening, our hearing, our hearts, our doing, our living toward something different, something better, toward one another, toward life, toward compassion. The most dreadful fear, Jesus says, ought to be missing out on the joy. Missing the opportunity, missing the transformation, the hope, the blessing, the peace, the abundant life that comes from God, which is poured out upon us and our neighbors whenever we together in compassion and care are gathered into beloved community. That is the gift, the treasure that we're offered, that we all turn our hearts and lives and all we have toward love. May we all find life, new life, abundant life, by listening to Lazarus, to the cries of all who cry out for God's love and mercy. May we all have no fear through living lives that are indeed a sign of God's compassion, God's mercy, God's justice, God's love for all whom we meet. Amen.